So, speaking of that need for God this morning, July 4th, 2010, happy Independence Day. Happy birthday, America. What a great, great day. You know, I also thought as we were closing out our worship that everything was getting very solemn, and I thought, okay, I have to come up here and be very soft-spoken. You know, I have to continue that mood. But you know what? I got to tell you, at the same time that a lot of these things are on my heart, at the same time, I know that I serve an awesome God. You know, and I serve a God who wants me to be loud sometimes and wants me to speak boldly. And He wants you to do the same thing. All right? And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. I got up here July 4th, 2010. I guess it might have been a typo. I don't know. It says Dependence Day instead of Independence Day. You know, 234 years ago, our nation was born in the midst of revolution, within the shadow of unwavering devotion, and through the blood of many brave men and women. On July 4th, 1776, 56 men announced to the world that a group of 13 colonies, small little 13 colonies, would no longer stand for the oppression and tyranny that had been imposed upon them. They spoke in unison that day through a document that over the years has come to be known as the Declaration of Independence, and it's been held in high esteem by the entire world. And I want to share with you just briefly a few lines from that great document. It says this: when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Hopefully that's not the first time you've heard those words. 56 men in 1776 bonded together, all right, pledging their devotion, their loyalty, their fortunes, their very lives to each other when they spoke out to the world these words. But the Declaration of Independence did not just appear overnight. They didn't leave one night and come back the next morning and there it was. We take it for granted, in fact, the hard work and the dedication that went into this document. Men like Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin labored long composing this document. At one point, there's a story concerning that where as the process was going on and it seemed that it was going to fail. I mean, nobody could agree upon anything. You know, there were all these opinions, and they couldn't come to an agreement, and it seemed like it was about to fail. And at that very point, listen to the words that Benjamin Franklin spoke. He said this, he said, "Gentlemen, if it is true that not one single petal from any flower falls to the ground without escaping God's attention, will the distress of this nation go unheeded? Let us therefore determine to seek His face." Benjamin Franklin spoke those words. Let us determine to seek the face of God at that time of adversity. You know what happened at that point? Every man in that assembly got down on his knees and prayed to God for guidance. Every single man. Because of their work they put into the Declaration and their desire for liberty, these men, those 56 brave men, our founding fathers, faced continual hardship and persecution. Let me share some of it with you, share some of those things with you that occurred to these men. Five of them were captured and tortured by the British before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned to the ground. 2 lost their sons in the war. 1 had 2 sons captured. 9 of them fought and died from wounds of the war. Carter Braxton, for specifics, of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ships swept away by the seas of the British Navy. He sold his home to pay his debts and died in rags. Thomas McKean was so hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family almost constantly. He served in Congress without pay, and he died a very poor man. Thomas Nelson's home was seized by the British at the Battle of Yorktown and used as a command post. He, meaning Thomas Nelson, urged George Washington to open fire on it. The home was destroyed, and Nelson died bankrupt. See, these men, and to be honest with you, countless millions, men and women, up until this day, believed in something called liberty so much, and they believed that they had to pronounce that liberty and defend it no matter what the cost. And it was through that dedication to liberty, through that dedication to the idea that they had spoken of, that today they have secured independence for us from tyranny. They've secured independence from us from slavery. They've secured independence from us from oppression. And today, this very day, we still have men, brave men and women scattered across this world who are in the process of securing independence for us today from terror itself. But it's with a heavy heart this morning that I consider some of the things that we, the people, are also trying to secure independence from. I believe Abraham Lincoln said it best in 1863 when he said this. This is Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States. "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven, but we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray clemency and forgiveness." President Abraham Lincoln. The same concern was echoed over 100 years later by President Ronald Reagan when he said this: "If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be one nation gone under." What these presidents saw then and what we continue to see today, that the sad truth is that in addition to all those great things that we sought independence from, today as a nation, we are seeking independence from God. We're seeking to be independent from God. You know, if you think about I already told you the story. The entire Continental Congress got down upon their knees and prayed for God's deliverance, for God's wisdom and for His guidance in the process of shaping this nation. Every time the Supreme Court sits for a case, a similar prayer is said. But guess what? In our schools today, we don't afford the same right to our children. Millions of Americans have fought and sacrificed to defend liberty and life. But guess what? Today, we don't extend that same protection to our unborn children. On June 6, 1944, President Franklin Roosevelt, the Commander-in-Chief of the United States Armed Forces, prayed this prayer over the national radio as thousands of Americans stormed the beaches of Normandy. Listen to this prayer. He said, "Almighty God, with thy blessing we shall prevail over the unholy forces of our enemy. Help us to conquer the apostles of greed and racial arrogance. Lead us to the saving of our country. Thy will be done. Almighty God, amen." That was President Franklin Roosevelt, the commander and chief of the armed forces. But guess what? Today on the battlefields, army chaplains can't even pray to those same brave soldiers in the name of Jesus Christ. What we have failed to realize as a nation over these last several hundred years is that independence that has defined this great nation is not only supported by, but it is contingent upon, our independence is contingent upon our absolute dependence upon God. That's the only way it works. Patrick Henry was a respected leader and patriot during the time of revolution. Unfortunately, today I think his place in our history books is quickly vanishing. He was a Christian man, and he believed that America had to be dependent upon God. Now, I don't just tell you that because I knew Patrick Henry and he told me, but I can tell you this, from his very words, listen to his heart. It says this: "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." Patrick Henry said that. His last will and testament, you could go today to Brook Neal County in the courthouse of Virginia, and you could read his last will and testament, and you'd read that he bequeathed nearly everything to his children, okay, which would seem pretty normal. But when he got to the last paragraph of that will, listen to what he says. He says, "I have now given everything I own to my children. There's one more thing, though, I wish I could give them, and that is Christ. Because if they have everything I gave them and don't have Christ, they have nothing." That's your founding fathers. That's who founded this land. they recognize the need to be 100% dependent upon God. They recognize that you cannot truly be independent if you are not dependent upon God. You cannot have true freedom unless you have dependence upon our Lord. As we celebrate America's 234th birthday today, 234 years, 234 years old today, I'm reminded of a passage from God's Word itself that spoke about the birthday of a nation some 3,000 years ago, the birthday of Israel some 3,000 years ago. And I believe that if our hearts today will not only hear, but also consider the words of the Word of God concerning that birthday, I think we'll see that it's still very true for us today. It says this in Deuteronomy 8, 7 through 14. This is the Lord speaking about the birthday of Israel. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Here we go, folks. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. That sound familiar? You know, the Old Testament essentially is full of accounts of where Israel forgot who God was, where Israel's heart became proud, and they forgot the Lord that had delivered them out of Egypt. Almost the entire Old Testament is a story of that process. I fear that today, despite the fact that God has blessed the United States without question more than any land that has ever existed, more than any nation that has ever existed, he's poured blessings upon this land and upon this people. Despite that fact, I believe that this morning that God is being forgotten. I believe that our hearts have grown very, very proud as a people, as a nation. Perhaps then, July 4th, 2010, should not be a day that we celebrate Independence Day, but perhaps today is a day that, starting with this church, starting in our very homes, that we celebrate a dependence upon God. Perhaps July 4th should come to be for Christians, for our family today, a day of dependence, a day that we choose God rather than choose forsaking him. Perhaps it's the day that we choose to be dependent upon the rock of the ages. Perhaps today is the day that we choose to be dependent upon the author and perfecter of not just your faith or my faith, but all of our faiths. Perhaps today we choose to be dependent upon Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Nothing else. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? I know we've talked about it numerous times. But you know, essentially that story has an underlying theme about independence, about the search for independence. I wanted to share it with you this morning, so just kind of sit back for a moment. It's out of Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. It says this, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, would you agree that you got to come to your senses when you're ready to eat the pig food? When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servant, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Bring a ring, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. The younger son in that story, what was he looking for essentially? He was looking for independence, wasn't he? He was ready to get out on his own. So he says to his dad, he says, "Give me my share. You know, give me what's mine, what's coming, what's mine." So he takes all that wealth and he heads off and all those possessions and he walks off. And I'm sure as he's going, he's thinking in his heart, "Now I am finally free." So he goes to the city, right? And he begins to just live this wild life. And what he doesn't realize is that when the money runs out, all of his friends run out too. When the money's gone, guess what? Freedom's gone too. In fact, he gets so desperate, that what does he consider doing? He considers eating the pig food, the pig slop. That's desperation, folks. That's desperate. So then he returns home, though, doesn't he? Finally, he comes to his senses and he returns home. And because at that point he becomes dependent again upon his father, at that point he actually finds true freedom. At that point, he finds real independence. Now, I told you that story because I think that all of us in this room can relate on some different place at some different time to that story. I don't know where you are today, but my question is this: where in the story are you? Where are you in that story? Are you today enjoying some kind of false freedom that you've secured for yourself through material possessions? Is that where you are today? This morning, are you here because you finally come to your senses? Because you finally become so desperate and realized that you're not experiencing real freedom? But this lie that the world is selling you is doing nothing but imprisoning you to a life of slavery that will end in both spiritual and physical death? Is that why you're here this morning? Or maybe today, for a few of us, maybe today you're here to celebrate with your father. You've returned home, and it's time to celebrate. You're here because you found that true dependence, or true independence, true freedom, you found it in being dependent upon God. You finally returned home to your Father. Maybe today that's true for some of you. Getting back to this idea, though, where in the story are you? I don't know where you are today. I don't know. All I can tell you is this: that the Word of God speaks very clearly that all that the Son sought after, all of it, proved worthless. Okay? The Son was so proud because of all he had. He had all this great wealth and possessions, and at the end of it, it was worth nothing. Worth nothing. Found himself eaten with the pigs. Our country is in danger of finding ourselves eating with the pigs if we're not careful. You know, about 100 years ago, there was a French political philosopher. His name was, I'm going to really just terrify his name here. But his name was Alexis de Tocqueville. And he visited the United States about 100 years ago. And he was trying to figure out what exactly made the United States a great nation. What was it about this people, about this land, that made them a great nation? So he sought out all different sorts of people. He went to all kind of towns, visited all sorts of places, asked all kinds of questions, and at the end of it, listen to what he said. He said, "I sought for America's greatness. I found it not in her fields and forests. I found it not in her mines and factories. I found it not in her Congress and great tribunals. It was only when I entered her churches and heard her pulpits thundering against sin and preaching righteousness that I discovered the secret of her greatness." He went on to add, "America is great because America is good. If America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." I wonder what he would say about our land today. I wonder if he visited us today, what he would say. The main point this morning, guys, and I know I've been kind of jumping around here. I hope you guys enjoy some history as much as I do, okay? It's a great day to celebrate history because you know what? I could sit here and beat you guys up for the next 20 minutes about how bad things are, but let me tell you something. God is still blessing this nation, okay? Am I deeply fearful of the fact that that will one day end? Absolutely. I don't believe that we are sowing nearly enough righteousness to expect to continue to reap that harvest, okay? But for right now, I can tell you that we are a favored nation, that we are a favored people, that God's blessings pour out upon this nation, all right? And that you live in the greatest nation on the earth. And that's not because of what these men did, but it's because of your God chose to bless this nation, chose to put you here. So it is a day to celebrate, not just to beat up on things. But my point here this morning is not that our founding fathers were Christian men of integrity, though that is very true. I don't care what the history books try to rewrite, and trust me, they're in the process of doing it, okay? But your country, the United States, was founded on Christian principles by Christian men who believed exactly what we believe. I'm not trying, as my main point today, to tell you that American independence... My main point today is not to say that we should be thankful to the millions who have sacrificed for our independence, though that is something that today we should do. That's not my main point today, though. My main point today is simply this, that our real freedom, our real independence, comes from Jesus Christ and Him alone. That is the bottom line, the main point to everything I've said so far today. That real freedom and real independence comes only from Jesus Christ. You know, when you read through the Bible, if you get a chance to here today or tomorrow, take a look for the word freedom. Because what you're going to find is that you won't find it mentioned very often. Okay, but what you will see is a word called redemption. All right? And redemption is the process of being set free. Redemption means that we have been set free from the chains that held us in bondage. Redemption is the Bible's word for freedom. But like freedom, redemption also has a price. Like freedom that our brave men and women over the years have shed their blood for, like that, in the same way, our redemption has a very high price. And that price could only be paid by one man. One man in all of history could pay that price. Our redemption was secured by the one man, Jesus Christ, by the only begotten Son of God, who paid that price for us on Calvary some 2,000 years ago. He hung on a cross, and as Reed spoke of, I think, excellently earlier, He shed every drop of His blood to cover us in our sins so that we would not have to die that sinner's death. Church, today, that's where you find real freedom at. That's where you find real independence today. It's through the precious, redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. I would encourage you today on July 4th to remember and honor those brave men and women who even today stand for freedom across this globe. I would encourage you to do so. But I would implore you this morning to give praise, to give honor, to give worship, and to give your complete dependence to the one who truly sets you free. Will you stand with me this morning? Let's pray. Lord, thank You this morning for Your word. Lord, I thank You for Your spirit just hanging out with us here, Lord. Lord, I thank You that you are here because You have come with every heart this morning. Lord, I ask that this morning that You teach us to look at this idea of independence with new eyes. That we are not independent because of our own means, or even because of the great sacrifices of our fathers. But we are independent because of the greatest sacrifice. Because of the sacrifice that You made on Calvary. Lord, today we would ask that You would honor those who serve. We ask that You would honor the families of those who serve. Those who have made that ultimate sacrifice. God, I pray that Your blessings will come upon them mightily today. But Lord, more than that, we want to give you our worship. We want to give you our praise. Lord, we want to give you our very hearts. All that we are, Lord, we want to be dependent upon you this morning. Lord, our nation, you've blessed it so mightily. You've poured out so much abundance for us. God, I for my part, Lord, I'm sorry for where we've turned from you. God, I'm sorry for where we've kicked you out. Lord, I'm sorry for not making you first. Lord, for choosing everything else before you. God, as a people, we want this morning to choose you, to be dependent upon you and you alone. Lord, we come to you as your people. Lord, we come to you with hearts that are broken and contrite. Lord, we recognize the evils and the wickedness that is spreading across our land. And Lord, we know that this morning the only answer, the only solution is not in Washington, Lord, but it is right here today. Lord, we recognize that you are the answer. You are the only hope that we have. So Lord, for where we still walk away, we ask that you will turn us back. Show us where we choose this world and where we choose pleasures of this flesh over you. Lord, we want to make you the leader of our nation. We want you to be in control, you to be in charge. Lord, we pray for our political leaders. Lord, for those men that you have appointed, Lord, for those men that you have anointed with leadership. Lord, we don't understand the decisions they make, but we pray for their hearts. Lord, we pray that you will do a work in their hearts that will not allow them to live comfortably with these bad decisions. Lord, change the hearts of this land from the smallest to the greatest. In your name we pray. Amen.